Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
Let's go to Proverbs chapter 1, please. And I'm going to continue this morning in Proverbs chapter 1. We're talking about being teachable. And this is a subject that you forever need to deal with your flesh on. Just so you know, thank you. Just so you know, your flesh, how many know your flesh will never wake up? You'll never wake up one morning, your flesh will go, I want to be humble today. I see that truth in the Word, and your flesh is not that way. Your flesh has to be held in check by the Holy Spirit within you, amen? And so being teachable or having that mindset and keeping that mindset is what helps us. All right, so, and just so you know, if there's ringing happening in the sound system, we got a new soundboard and Josh is working on it, so we'll all be patient, amen? All right, what's amazing is it doesn't come across the recording. That's what's amazing about it to me. Somehow it doesn't get in there. So, but anyway, we'll be patient with that. He's working on it and Josh does a great job. I mean, he's awesome. How many think he's awesome? Yeah. He loves all the attention, too, when I give it to him. He just, he relishes in it. All right. Praise the Lord. So, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1 says this, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles." And this is our main verse right here. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." So I wonder what the maintenance of it would be. If there's a beginning and you have to walk in through that, you're going to have to stay in it to maintain. Amen? You're going to have to continue to move forward in that reverence for the Lord. But fools, somebody say, I'm not a fool, despise wisdom and instruction. So what we see here is that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The Amplified says the reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord is the beginning and the principal and choice part of knowledge, its starting point and its essence. But fools despise skillful and godly wisdom, instruction, and discipline. Fear, the word fear has to do with standing in awe, is what it means. I know we've looked at this before, and you can go back and catch up on other messages on the website if you'd like. There's video there and audio available. But if you're reverencing the Lord, you're standing in awe of Him. There's an understanding that He's up here, and I'm below Him. Amen? Now, sometimes I know, and because of obviously the New Testament realities that we understand, that we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But you know, even Christ has a head. And it's God the Father. Amen? How many have read that in Scripture? Okay? So you know that He's submitted to the Father. Well, we're submitted to our head, which is Jesus. And when you're submitted, you're in reverence or in awe of the Father. And you respect not only what the Father has done and will do, but you respect the words that He's given you. Amen? I heard Bill Johnson say this a couple of months ago in one of his messages, but he said, you don't just need to read the passages of Scripture that make you feel good. You need to read all of them. And a teachable person, someone who stands in awe of God, who has respect for the Lord, will do that. They'll read all the passages of Scripture, and they'll allow the Word to bring enlightenment to their mind and the Holy Spirit to bring correction to their life. And don't just look at correction as just discipline in the sense of, because I know our culture struggles with this, not only in the church, but outside the church. People think of discipline or they think of correction and rebuking, things like that. They automatically think of abuse, but God's not an abuser. God's never been involved in abuse. He doesn't, it's not His nature at all. So sometimes people have kind of a twisted view of what this discipline, correction, and things like that look like because they've had a wrong example set before them. But how many know this? How many know that a wrong example is not a reason not to find a right one? And I will just say this. How many know that a wrong example is not an excuse or a reason not to walk in the discipline that you should concerning your children and others? People will say, well, I wasn't treated right. And so there's an unhealthy fear or something there that causes them not to walk in obedience in areas of the word that deal with it. But what needs to happen is not necessarily that you need, what's the word here that I'm looking for? You don't need to just excuse the word of God. You need to make adjustments inside your thinking to the word of God and allow the Holy Spirit to teach you the proper way. And as you do that, you become more effective. How many know we're all kind of messed up? Especially in the head. Okay, our spirits are doing well. Our heads need a lot of work. Okay, because most people were not raised in a faith environment in obedience to the word. Most people were not. Now, some have been, but most people were not. And so when we're in awe, when we're in reverence of the Lord, we stand in awe of Him. We yield to Him. You're the boss. I'm not. Amen? How many know the boss can tell you to do things you don't like? We might as well laugh or cry, one or the other. Okay? But see, the problem is, we do have a whole lot of people in the church that cry instead of change. Amen? Well, it's not fair. We're not going to go fair. If you want to go fair, I'll just use me as an example because I don't want to tell off on you. If you want to go by fair and if you want to get what I don't deserve this. Come on. This is rampant in the world and in the church. If I got what I deserved. Come on, and I'm not even Adolf Hitler. If I got what I deserved, I would be born, live a short, miserable life, and go to hell. If I got what I deserved. But you know what I know about Jesus? It is by grace through faith. Ugh, thank you, Lord. Amen? How about you? So we got to be careful with that. Everybody in this room has been mistreated. And if you focus on the person that did you wrong, your spiritual growth has ceased. I'm not saying you're not born again. I'm not saying you're not making heaven. You will, if you believe in Christ. I'm saying your spiritual development, your freedom, the liberty that the Lord has for you in this life has stopped. Because your focus is wrong. You got to have that awe for God. So you say, what does that mean? That means that we forgive others as Christ has forgiven. I wonder how much wrong we did to Him. Listen, all the wrongs that anybody's ever done to you don't add up to the wrongs that we did to the Lord. Does that make sense? Now, if you're going to go by your assessment of what that means, well, then you might be able to find an excuse. The problem is our assessment is not the standard. The standard is God's. How many think God is absolutely perfect? There's no shred of darkness in Him at all. Amen? So I don't know about you, but I want to show the same mercy that was delivered to me to someone else. Amen? All right? I didn't say you had to like them and hang out with them. I'm just saying, show them some mercy. Amen? So when we have awe, when we have reverence, then we are teachable. Now go back up to verse number 2, and we'll start there and kind of walk through these things. And then I'll wrap up with another thought here. But verse number 2 says this. Now watch what fear does. Watch what reverence for the Lord does. It says this, that people may know skillful and godly wisdom. In the King James, it says, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. When you have a reverent attitude toward the Lord, what happens is you begin to understand or have wisdom, instruction, and perception comes to you. And all of a sudden, because you've elevated your understanding in submission to God, He then is able to move into your situation and give you perception, wisdom, and understanding that you didn't have before. So all those areas of your life where you've been saying for years, I just don't know why this hasn't changed. I just don't know why. I just don't, come on, this is, people think this is a scripture. I just don't know why, right? It's human nature to do that. But what happens when you're in awe and reverence of the Lord, when you're submitted to Him, what there's an opening of the spirit of wisdom and revelation to be able to move into your thinking and open up the dark places and bring in light. Come on, years ago, I heard Brother Hagin talk about this. He went to a church and he was sharing what the Lord had given him, this revelation. And afterwards, they went out to eat with a couple. And she looked at him and she said, "You know, you've got me all confused." And he was teaching the scriptures. And he looked at her and he said, "No, I didn't get you confused." He said, "You were confused before I got here." He said, "The light of God's word just exposed your confusion." Come on. Reverential awe. Who's right? The Lord is. Amen? So I'll give you an illustration of what that is. It would be like if you had a flashlight and you went up into an attic and you got up in there, it's completely dark, and you turn that flashlight on and you start scanning through that attic, and man, you're seeing junk everywhere, cobwebs, dust has built up, and you looked at that flashlight and go, "Look what this flashlight did to this attic." There it goes. The light just went ding. Okay? The problem is not the flashlight. The problem is light has shown up and you're seeing what was there all along. Amen? So when we're in reverence and in awe of the Lord, when we're submitted to Him, the Lord comes in and goes, click, and you go, "Ooh, that's a mess, Lord. Why'd you do that?" And He goes, no, that was there before I got here. Here's the broom. Here's the dustpan. Now faith cleans it up. Okay? And that takes place in our thinking predominantly. So verse number 3 says this. It says to perceive the instruction of wisdom and justice, judgment and equity. So when you receive instruction, the Amplified says receive instruction in wise dealing and the discipline of wise thoughtfulness. How many of you like to be able to think through something with discipline? I like that. Being able to understand it. So there's this corresponding action that's taking place. The Word of God is bringing light to your mind, and the Holy Spirit is saying, "This is what it is. This is what it is." How many times have you just responded to or reacted to something instead of responding to it? What is your first, is your knee-jerk reaction in a difficult situation to go, "Well, Mike did it. It was his fault." Or is it, "Lord, I need to come to you. What's going on here?" And how many know this, that 99 times out of 100, the Lord will deal with me first. Come on, you first. It's like we talked about before. He is a plank remover before He is a splinter dealer with her. That makes no sense. But in other words, you have to plank before you splinter. Right? So how do you do that? How do you do that? You make sure you spend time with the Lord and you pray and you get understanding for yourself. Why? Because the judgment of the Lord is always right. And most of the time He'll come to you and say, "Just leave them alone, pray for them, you keep your heart right." Amen? And walk in love. So you want to receive instruction and wisdom. You do that when you live in awe and fear of the Lord. Instruction, part of the meaning of the word is correction and discipline. "Well, nobody can correct me." Well, then you're going to be a fool. Sorry. I mean, I'm not even really sorry about that. But that's not true. But it's because it's what the Word of God says. The same truth, that same sharpness of that truth cuts me too. Right? So if I walk away, my wife and I have a disagreement and I just sit and think about all the things she's doing wrong, what have I not done? I have not applied it to myself first. I need to turn the light on me and let the Lord deal with me. And come on, listen to me. I don't repent or forgive based on what they do. Come on. If you're that type of person or you've yielded that way, come on, trust me, I know about this. I've done this. I've had to deal with me and I still deal with me. your growth again is stunted. It stops. Why? Because now, what if Jesus, we've said this before, but what if Jesus before the cross went, the disciples won't even stay awake? These people ain't worth it. I ain't going to the cross. What if his obedience was conditional to what someone else did? You see that? We'd be lost. But he didn't do that. And we are called to that level too. You know, this is the thing. The thing about being a bridge is you get walked on. You do. Well, it wasn't fair. Yep. What are you going to do? Forgive them and go on. I just appreciate my health and my joy and the relationship I have with the Lord. My relationship with the Lord is first anyway. Right? My obedience to him is first anyway, so I'm teachable. Boy, it's a good thing the glory of the Lord came in here during worship, because some of you are giving me some looks right now. We had to soften the ground, I guess, before we... No, praise the Lord. I know you're thinking. Why? Because we're teachable, right? We're teachable. Hallelujah. So he says wisdom, which of course is intelligence or good sense. How many like good sense? All right. Let's skip down to verse number 4. To give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. To give prudence, the Amplified says, that prudence may be given to the simple and knowledge, discretion, and discernment to the youth. Prudence means discretion or shrewdness in a good sense. This is a person who is wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. Simple means open-minded, but it doesn't mean like, you know, so open-minded that your brains fall out. Okay? That's not what it's talking about. It's being open-minded pliable to the Lord so that our mind isn't hardened against the truth that's coming. As our mind's not hardened and enlightened and renewed by the Word of God, and then we see that and apply it, the blessing of the Lord flows freely in our lives. Amen? And so we're pliable. We get discretion. Which actually means a purpose or plot. Scripture gives good sense to those who are open, that they may have skill with purpose. This wisdom is available in every area of the Word of God's. In every area the Word of God addresses. It is available in everything. So in other words, you can have discretion in every area of your life. You can have a purpose and a plan in every area of your life as you're reverential to the Lord, as you're in awe of Him. From the Scriptures, what comes? Purpose comes discretion. There's a knowing, an understanding. I don't stand over the middle of my situation and declare over and over again, I don't know what to do, I don't know what to do, I don't know what to do. I say, Lord, I yield and submit to you and your word. I resist the devil according to your word, and he must run away, flee from you. Does that make sense? So we are functioning within the boundaries of that. When you yield to the Word of God and you're submissive to Him, there is an opening in the understanding, a bringing in of light that takes place to where the path that is in front of you no longer looks, it's no longer dark. You see where you're supposed to go. And that comes through fellowship and relationship with the Lord or the fear of the Lord. Verse number 5 says this. Verse number 5 says, a wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. The Amplified says, the wise also will hear and increase in learning, and a person of understanding will acquire skill and attain to sound counsel, so that he may be able to steer his course rightly. I like that. In other words, there's wisdom. A person that's wise, has a wise heart, will hear, which means actually not just to listen, but to listen intelligently. You know, there's a whole lot of people that don't listen intelligently today. Amen? We live in the world of snippets, news snippets. Come on. How many believe the news? I'll pray for you after. I don't see a hand, but... Okay, no. I mean, there are some just basic things. But guys, there's a reason why they call it programming. Well, it blessed somebody and others grunted. But some things you just shouldn't even listen to because there's no intelligence behind it.
I mean, I'm not even talking about like deep revelation. I'm talking about common sense. Okay? So we need to be careful about what we hear. An increase in knowledge is available here. Now, a person who increases in a person who's knowledgeable or wise will increase in knowledge. The word increase means to add or augment, to continue to do a thing, to get more or give more over, to conceive again. How many have ever had breakthrough in the Word of God and you brought something forth in faith? How many need it to be brought forth again? Well, you can. The fear of the Lord will help in that area. Amen? You'll be teachable. You'll gain understanding. You'll attain understanding. Part of it, too, is you're learning in there. And that word learning means fair speech. Isn't that interesting? Fair speech. How many know that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth leaks? Right? You want what you say. The power of life and death is in the... You want what you say to be wisdom. And wisdom comes from being teachable, which is the heart of someone who reverences God. I'm in awe of you. So you don't go, oh, I got to read my devotion in the morning. You go, God, what are you saying this morning? Speak to me, Lord. I don't know about you. The best times that I've had with the Lord is when I'm with Him reading His Word. The best times. I mean, my inside shakes sometimes. Why? Because it's like fire shut up in my bones. And that's available to you too. That's not just a prophet thing. You understand? You get close to God, oh, it'll change everything for you. It'll change everything for you. Those things that held you won't anymore. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 7. We'll wrap up right here. Hallelujah. Now, the first few verses here, nobody's going to volunteer for. I'm just making that faith confession now. Because you don't want to be in this place. But we do need to be aware of this because we need to be aware of our attitude towards situations. In other words, we talked about this last week. Don't limit your teachability to the color of skin of the preacher. Don't limit your teachability to the age of the minister that's sharing the Word of God. Come on. Young people look and go, that guy's old. Yeah, old enough to know you need to know something that I got to say. When you're teachable and you're hearing the words of God, you don't go, why do they have them up there teaching? You say, the word of God's being spoken. Shh, I need to hear this. Make sense? Well, and older people don't look and go, well, that person, you know, they got holes in their jeans and the jeans are too tight. Back in my day. I hear you. But you know what? If the word of God's coming forth, come on, check the heart of a man or a woman. Oh, yeah, I better go there too. Well, I can't receive from them because that's a woman teacher. You just got pride. Well, they're Methodist. Is the word coming forth? Well, they're Baptist. Oh, so you have a disagreement on a doctrine, so the word they're reading doesn't qualify. Yeah, I felt that one too. Come on. Amen? We need to be aware of that. Listen for the word. Listen for the Holy Spirit. And love your brothers and sisters in the Lord. You do realize this, that we all came from one blood? Well, they're Native American. They're this. They're that. So what? If I'm the same blood type as a Native American and they're the only one delivering the blood to me, I'm taking it. That stuff is nonsense, you do realize. Don't be jealous of a better tan than what you got. Come on. Last time I checked, we all bleed red. Amen? See, we need to be teachable. I'm talking about according to the Word of God. Okay? Not just natural thinking. I'm talking about the Word of God. Amen? Proverbs chapter 9, verse number 7. He who corrects a scoffer gets shame for himself, and he who rebukes a wicked man only harms himself. Do not correct a scoffer, lest he hate you. Do you hate people that try and correct you? Because if you do, you qualify for the first part of the verse. What does it say? Do not correct a, lest he... So if you hate correction, you qualify as a scoffer. I know, we don't want to read it backwards, but it's there. Amen? How many say, I don't want to be a scoffer? Yeah, come on. Correct me, Lord. So he says, rebuke a wise man and he will what? Wow. Our world could use a whole dose of this. Because there's a lot of rebuking going on and a whole lot of not loving going on. You don't walk away just going, oh man, I just got rebuked. That hurt. Praise the Lord. Man, I love that guy that just whooped me. Come on. But what does a wise person do? They walk away going, you know, Lord, feel that one. Thank you. Love you. Why? Because that correction, I'm not talking about abuse, okay? How many of you ever, you survived the paddle when you were a kid? Boy, I did, man. Now, I'm not talking about out of control. My parents never beat me, you know what I mean? And just shamed me and screamed. I'm not talking about any of that. That's nonsense stuff. That's devilish. I'm talking about I was disciplined. And at the moment when you're young, you're like, But you know what comes up in your mind later when you go to do the thing you just got whooped for? That whooping. Pain has a memory. And you go, yeah, I'm not going to do that this time. A wise man loves rebuke. Why? Because he understands that on the other side of his flesh being hurt is greater levels of relationship and manifestation of the blessing of God. He understands, I'm not going to fall in that hole again. There's the trap right there. What is it? If I get mad over being corrected, I'm not falling in that hole again. It took me so long to get out of it last time. The enemy has traps set. This is one of them. If you scoff at correction and direction and nobody can tell you anything, ever, if your mantra is, I thought I was wrong once, but I wasn't, you need Jesus. So he says this, give instruction to a wise man and he will be what? Still wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For by me, watch this now, verse 11, for by me your days will be, and your years of life will be, if you are wise, somebody say, that's me.
That's me.
You are wise for yourself. And if you scoff, you will bear it alone. Well, I'm under grace. I sometimes think, what happened with the grace message at times? But I understand where it comes from, because the book of Jude talks to us about how the grace of God will be turned into lasciviousness. No, how many know that God wants you to be satisfied with long life? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you will submit to correction and discipline and wisdom and allow the word of the Lord to teach you, you will begin to multiply your days upon this earth. And then not only that, as your days are multiplied, as a byproduct, what happened? Your years are added. Do you see that? So multiplication of days and then added years. How many would like to live another 10, 20, 30, 40 years, 50 years, depending on your age? Then listen to instruction. Don't just shrug it off. Don't be hard-hearted. Listen for the word of the Lord. Listen for the Holy Spirit. Listen for the instruction of God. And then have a yielded heart. Even if in your natural, your flesh rises up and goes, and wants to throw a fit, you just grab yourself by the nape of the neck. Take yourself over to the mirror of the Word of God and say, no, you're going to listen to this instruction. People say, well, it wasn't spoken in kind words and couched in comfortable tones.
Yeah.
They didn't, I would have received the correction, but they didn't say it just the way that I need it said. Snowflake. Come on, that's not a woke generation. That's somebody who doesn't understand the relationship of spirit, soul, and body and who the Father is, and they're not in reverence or in awe of Him. Now, that could be due to ignorance or rebellion, but either way, it's still the case. We need instruction and correction. How many know that if you continue to drive in the ditch, it's going to affect your alignment? Amen? How many know it's tough to keep the steering aligned if you're bouncing through the rocks in the ditch? The instruction is not, and the correction is not to hurt your feelings. And I just want to say this too. Your feelings are not the most important thing on the planet. How many realize that? How many know my feelings are not the most important thing on the planet? They're just not. This is very temporal, what we're doing here. I'm on the inside. I live forever. I'm talking about right now. I have already passed from death unto life. Would you stand with me, please? I just want to give people an opportunity to give their heart to the Lord this morning or rededicate if they need to. So if you want to prepare yourself for that. God loves you. He cares about you. He has your best interest at heart. He sent His Son to die for you so that you could be with Him. Not only so that you could go to heaven when you're done, but so that you could have heaven in you now. Have your head bowed, every eye closed. If you're in here today and you need to rededicate your life to the Lord, would you raise your hand? Or give your life to the Lord for the first time. I want to give you this opportunity and then pray with you. Is there anybody here like that today? You know you've backslidden or you've never given your heart to the Lord, but you need to. If you'd like to, I just want to pray with you where you're at. Ushers, if you'll look. Yep, thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Okay, praise God. Let's just, everybody with me, just say this. Father God, we come before You in the name of Jesus. Father, I know that I have missed it, that I've walked away, that I've sinned. But I believe that Jesus came to this earth in a physical body, took my sin upon Him in the cross, and was raised up and crucified. His blood was shed for the penalty of my sin, that I would receive His righteousness. So I receive the cleansing of the blood of Jesus. I receive the renewal of the Holy Spirit in my heart. I believe Jesus died and rose again for me. I'm a child of God. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. And when I pass from this life, I'll go directly to the presence of God. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you prayed that prayer, you can come up afterwards and get this from me, or I think they do have them at the back welcome table if you want to grab it there. This is a new believer's book and then a Bible from us, and we want to give you those. There's some messages here that will help you in your walk, and then, of course, this book as well will help you as well. So we want to bless you in that. Hey guys, if you do need prayer for something today, we'll have Rick and Luann up here. Heidi and I will be up here as well. Did you get anything? Well, we bless you guys in the name of Jesus. Amen. Be blessed in your Thanksgiving. Walk in love. If you need to leave politics off the table, do it. And we'll see you next Sunday with Pastor Larry Phelan. God bless you guys. Have a great week.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.